You're listening to KTWH 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio Station, where I am on the phone with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of our Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. Greg is a regular on the station. Thanks so much for being with us again, Greg.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's see. Let's begin with a COVID update, which you have so faithfully done for a year and a half now. We have still have pretty high numbers in Lake County, it seems.
Yeah, our 14-day case rate in Lake County continues to fluctuate up and down. It's back up again this week. You know, we hit a high in the mid-90s. It dropped down to a low in kind of the low 50s. Now we're back up to about 66. And so that 14-day case rate, just as a reminder, is based on the number of cases over the past 14 days and adjusted for the population of the county. So we had 70 cases over the last 2 weeks or 14 days. So again, you know, certainly high, not as high as it was, but still challenging.
Yeah, and a couple questions about that. Do you know the age, like what age of people are, is it just all ages or is there concentrated levels in some areas?
Yeah, so what we look at every time, usually twice a week, public health dives into this in detail and looks at the kind of the numbers. So we look at, you know, over a certain age group, which is high risk, but also more importantly, the school-age kids, you know, kind of in Two Harbors and Silver Bay, just trying to really keep a good handle on what's happening within the schools and the younger population.
Yeah.
So that all of that gets factored in. And, you know, the one benefit this week is we are doing vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds using the lower dose Pfizer. So that will help us kind of slow down that transmission in the younger age groups. And our clinics here filled up right away with waiting lists. You know, across Minnesota, it's been kind of the same experience. There's a really strong demand initially, and we know that that will kind of wane over time, but people have been anxious to get that, and they signed up quickly.
Yeah. And then do we have any indication of any, so we know kids are getting COVID. Are there also, is it just young adults and older adults and all adults, or is there any specific age group? There's been quite a bit of curiosity about this, just in conversation around town, because some people see a lot of COVID and some people don't see a lot of COVID.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say over the last month or so, I've heard more people say, you know what, it feels more real to me now because I know a number of people that have COVID. And this has been, you know, over the last probably 6 months, this has been the case where early on in the pandemic, you know, we had our cases of COVID, but they were relatively low, where around the country we were seeing these large outbreaks. And so we kind of lagged that. What we're seeing now, at least, you know, locally here, but also regionally and across Minnesota, is you've got the younger kids, of course, are having a higher incidence of COVID because most are unvaccinated and they're back in school and all of those things, which is, I guess, understandable. We're also seeing a lot more unvaccinated people ending up with COVID and needing hospitalization, ICU, or other treatments. So I'll talk a little bit about that. You know, we are seeing breakthrough cases, of course, of those who are vaccinated, but they typically are having pretty mild cases, is what, and that's always been the goal, is that they would get it, they could fight it off, wouldn't end up in the hospital or ICU or die. And so that continues, you know, to be the case. What we're seeing now, which is really a kind of a good barometer of the state, is at Lakeview and in Duluth, hospitals do the same thing. We're offering the monoclonal antibody therapy, which is the IV for people who have are active COVID. They have a 10-day window to get this, and it's had really good clinical results. So we've been, you know, when this first came out, we were doing them sporadically, you know, but again, with high vaccination rates in Lake County, the demand locally was not very high, which was great. That was our goal. What we're seeing over the last 2 weeks is this really significant demand of patients from across the state wanting monoclonal antibodies, and actually from other states as well. So, for example, again, today we have somebody driving up from the Twin Cities to get monoclonal because they cannot get it anywhere down there. Every single appointment is full.
And this is a treatment for more severe cases of COVID.
Correct. Yeah, you have to meet very strict criteria, you know, timing, symptoms, those kind of things. And so it's an IV treatment. And so we do those. We've seen people from Superior, a number of people from the cities, Mora, the Iron Range. But again, our volumes are high everywhere, so we can only do so many a day. But we're trying to do as many as we can, again, to support healthcare across the state.
Yeah.
So that tells you that it's still a significant issue where people are needing actual treatment for COVID. And these are young people. These are young parents bringing their kids, all four. We had one last week, all four in the family needed it.
So it's like, as far as adults, you're just, there's nothing more specific to tell me about age. It's all ages.
It seems to be now. I can't really pinpoint any group. It just appears to be, and everything that we've looked at is way higher incidence in non-vaccinated people. And some are ending up on, you know, ventilators and are really sick, which is, you know, certainly, we've talked about that a lot, but it seems to be more common now, and probably because more people are vaccinated. So that 75% of Lake County residents are protected to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, now you've alluded to this already, but it seems like our hospital capacity in Minnesota is a big part of the story now. Do you want to tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing challenge. You know, kind of goes up and down, but the last couple of weeks have been really difficult, I think, around the region in terms of trying to find critical care beds. I know 2 weekends ago we really struggled. There are just, it's really difficult if somebody comes in with COVID and needs a ventilator or ICU, or they come in with a heart attack, or they come in with needing a surgery or what have you. It can be really difficult for us to find a bed for them. You know, in Duluth is really difficult, and sometimes we're looking to the Twin Cities, to Fargo, to Brainerd, other places. So we've tried to make trades with people to say, if you'll take our surgery patient, we'll take one of your medical patients to take the pressure off of you, because we can't do all surgery here, but we can certainly care for most medical conditions. And so, I've been called at, in the middle of the night, early in the morning, saying, what do we do? We've got a patient that needs to go out. There are no beds. And there is no easy answer. There just aren't any beds. Mm. I should say staff beds. Again, clarifying that this is not that every single ICU bed in the state is full. It's how many are staffed, and are there any open staff beds that can actually care for people?
Right. I was going to ask if it was, because a few weeks ago you mentioned that it's the staffing as much as the beds. And then, so that makes me wonder, so if this was pre-pandemic and you are fully staffed, would this be an issue or less of an issue? Or, like, how much is it the fact that the medical community is just really overused beyond what can be easily repaired?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I would certainly say if it was pre-pandemic, we would be much better off. I think there'd be more capacity, you know, in the healthcare system across the state to kind of respond to this. But, you know, I think you've all seen the news and read stories about, you know, it's difficult to staff. We have, you know, staff walking away from the field. They're cutting back. They're choosing other professions. They're tired. They're sick. They're quarantined. I mean, all of those things are factors. And so when you don't have a staff bed and you've got a patient in your ER in a rural hospital that needs a higher level of care, and there isn't a higher level of care, you have to get pretty creative. And we keep people here longer than we ever would have before. But the good news is we have, you know, wonderful physicians and nurses and staff that are doing amazing work. I mean, they're just really stepping up and keeping people alive and keeping people doing the best that they can until beds open up. And we're able to find those in time. But so we're not at crisis yet. We're just being significantly challenged is what I have.
Yeah. Sounds like it's not been the easiest few weeks to be in your job, Greg.
No, I would say the last 2 weeks have probably been some of the most challenging weeks since the beginning of the pandemic in terms of just managing the needs of patients and families. Before, it was all managing uncertainty, just trying to understand what was happening and trying to, you know, proactively plan. But we kind of know that stuff now, and now we know what the real challenges are. And we're trying to, you know, provide excellent care, and really in a system that has, you know, challenges and things that we need to overcome pretty much daily.
Yeah.
I get calls every day asking, you know, how should we handle this? What do you think about this? Can we problem solve this? And, you know, we get through those, but it's nothing seems straightforward, which is just kind of the reality, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of this is going to get solved quickly. So you kind of have to do whatever is going to sustain you and your staff in the long run. I mean, it just seems like it's just such a balancing act.
Well, the thing I've shared with people, and I've been stopped in the hallway and asked a lot of questions and at the grocery store and other places, what I keep reminding people is it's not all a COVID issue. It's just that the COVID has put so much more pressure on the kind of the healthcare infrastructure that we still have people having heart attacks and strokes and cancer diagnoses and all of those other significant things. And we're trying to balance all of that, which is, seems to be more of it than before. And then you have the COVID, the pandemic, and then you've got people in ICUs taking beds that normally would have been just for medical people. So it's kind of, in a sense, all kinds of factors making it more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move on. What else is happening at Lakeview? I know there are many things other than the what you're talking about. So give us some other stories.
Yes, we continue despite of all this work on, you know, kind of getting through day to day and week to week. We are planning for our future, which is exciting.
Yeah.
So we are planning our community health and population health work that will be countywide in terms of investing in Lake County and keeping people healthier. And so we're looking at adding nursing resources and working very closely with public health on a collaborative approach, and that's going great. Expanding things like foot care and vaccine clinics and all of that. So that's been rewarding work and something to maybe take our mind off of the direct COVID work. The other thing we're working on is we're designing our future surgery center, which is really exciting. You recall the second level of our building expansion is a large space that will be the future surgery and procedure department of Lakeview. And so we're working with our architect and our construction manager on designing that entire space down to every doorknob and door handle and wall covering and paint. And our goal is to have that completely wrapped up by the end of January and then get a more accurate bid of what that would cost to build in February and then kind of decide, is that going to be a 2022 project or an early 2023? Again, just trying to sort all that out.
Hmm. And that would presumably expand the amount of types of surgeries you could get done right here in Two Harbors.
Correct. The new space will have 8 pre- and post-op rooms, 2 surgery suites, 2 procedure suites, recovery area, really a self-contained state-of-the-art surgery center. And so we can add more specialties, do more things right here in our community. So that is, again, the kind of the strategic, exciting work that we're looking for that's not just 20 months of pandemic response, which is
right. Right. Does that include hiring more surgeons as well?
Yeah. So what we typically do, we continue probably monthly to look at what other services are needed in Lake County. And so we've got a couple new specialists coming on board here in the next, month or two. We're talking about some new surgery that we don't do now that we could potentially do in the new surgery center. We're growing our current surgery practice pretty much across the board. We've had just very strong volumes and good outcomes and great surgeons coming up. And we don't hire the surgeons directly all the time. We contract or work within our system, which is a perfect model, again, because they support Duluth and other places. So we're getting some of the best surgeons in the region providing surgery right here in Two Harbors, which is great.
Yeah, very exciting. Really pretty amazing for us in such a rural place. Great. Well, thanks so much, Greg. Is there anything that I have forgot to ask you about or that you'd want to share?
No, I think we will continue caring for our community and solving problems, and we're here if you need us.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the radio, and we'll have you again soon.
All right. Have a great day.
You take care.
Bye. Bye.